Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
COVID-19's disruption to education. The COVID-19 pandemic created systemic disruptions in nearly every facet of society, from healthcare to business, and perhaps most significantly, education. The effects of school closures and remote learning are only now becoming apparent in childhood development.
A study published in Nature Human Behavior surveyed nearly 6,000 peer-reviewed papers on the pandemic's effects on childhood education. Using data found in these papers, researchers found that students across all ages lost an estimated 35% of information that will be typically learned in an academic year. Jeez. They also noted that those losses were predominantly in the subject of math.
Yes, shocking. Although researchers were concerned about this loss of learning, they also pointed out that during the pandemic, students can become well-adjusted to learning and communicating in a digital setting. Kids were just getting super familiarized with the cyberspace and technology context, and will in the future be more native to the digital world, said psychologist Luca Lusek.
The data gathered by researchers highlighted an increase to the learning inequality that is already present for lower socioeconomic students. The findings of the study show that students in lower socioeconomic status homes saw a greater loss to their learning over the pandemic. Researchers speculate that this was a result of a lack of access to environments that were conducive to learning. Finding a clean and quiet and safe setting to study uninterrupted for extended periods of time may have been more difficult for children of a lower SES status.
Researchers warn that with the loss of education as a result of the pandemic may compound over time. They warn that recovering academically from the pandemic may be on a timeline in the decades rather than months or years. Goodness. Amanda Nitzel, an education researcher at Johns Hopkins, says, "This isn't going to be something that we catch up in a year or two. I think it's going to be a decade long. We need to rethink schooling and make substantial changes to the structure and way that we do education to help kids catch up." Hope, I know that you are our resident mom, our den mom, and professional mother. So any insights that you can offer here? Did you see any of that with your children?
I did.
Your children these are the ages, I would imagine, that this study.
Right. But when the lockdown happened, my children weren't yet in school. So they didn't have those issues because, I call myself lucky all the time because my children weren't old enough to go through that. I do remember when my child began kindergarten and his sister contracted COVID, he had to be out for a week because of contact. And I remember having to set him up in the house with the iPad, going between the laptop because I was working from home, and him with the iPad trying to make a quiet space for him so he can log into his kindergarten class. Him being sad because he could see his class doing like social stuff that he couldn't do. And that was only for 1 week. That was only right. For 1 week he had to miss school. I cannot imagine these students that were old enough to be in school and they were out for an entire year or more. Just the socialization part of it. Because, aside from the education, right, of course, we already said, math skills dropped, reading skills. But just the socialization, the kids learn so much from being around other children, from being around other adults like their teachers. They learn so much. And having that gone and all they're around where their family for an extended amount of time, like that alone is a loss that we're gonna take years for these children to catch up with. You know, it's just
100%.
Oh, it's just, it makes me so sad thinking about it.
Hear ye, hear ye. Success for 3D printed ears made from patient's own ear cartilage. For the first time in history, a living ear made out of human cells was successfully transplanted onto a patient. Using 3D biotherapeutics technology, doctors could reconstruct the outer ear of a woman born with microtia, a condition in which people are born with underdeveloped ears or none at all.
This study examined the safety and aesthetic properties of this new procedure for ear reconstruction. As part of the study, personalized tissue implants were developed that can replace the ears of patients with such a condition. In order to harvest cartilage cells, the patient's existing ear tissue is sampled. Multiplying these in cultures then serves as bioink for 3D printing a new ear. A graft is then applied to the patient.
In the U.S. alone, about 1,500 people are born with microtia, and there are only a few treatment options available. And I bet you that means 1,500 people per year. It is possible for patients to choose grafts made from either synthetic materials or from ribcage tissue. Currently, either implants or invasive surgery to remove rib cartilage are used for ear reconstruction. Specialists are hoping this new, much less invasive technology will become the standard procedure for ear reconstruction.
Because it uses the patient's own ear cartilage, the living tissue implant is less likely to be rejected by the body. Despite not disclosing the technical details of the trial, 3D Bio says that federal authorities reviewed the trial and that the results will be published in a peer-reviewed medical journal once the trial is completed. It seems likely that other types of tissue will be subjected to a similar trial if results continue along this path.
We believe here at Noise Filter that this sort of technology, the direction that 3D printing is going in, is going to just be remarkable. I'm still, you know, kind of thinking about a story that we did on fusion technology and how that's going to be the fuel for the future. 3D printing and being able to use 3D printing from a biology, possibly even like creating being able to create new organs. You know, I could see a reality for something like that as that technology gets better. So this is this really exciting technology.
Look, according to Grey's Anatomy, it's happening. Like, all we got to do, like, you need a transplant, just print it, you know? Like,
hold on, you're quoting a TV show here?
I'm just saying.
Oh, Lordy, Grey's Anatomy.
Man, 30 minutes tops, so we got organs, you know?
It's amazing, you know, it's the same thing like with House, you know? I'd never seen any of those TV programs, but they're able to solve the mystery in exactly the 52 minutes that have been allotted to them to be able to...
It's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing.
Incredible coincidence. Now, in all seriousness, getting back to this story, I think what 3D Bio is doing is amazing, and we'll certainly continue to follow.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast, follow us on social media, and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Hickerson, at hopehickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.